Welcome to Hey Roadie Podcast, where we take a deep dive into the Ocean State and take a granular look into the people, places, and everything in between that inspires such big love for the smallest state. I'm Jenna.
And I'm Chris.
And Hey Roadie Podcast is an extension of the Hey Roadie Media Co. magazines you already know and love. Today on the podcast, we're excited to welcome Anthony Costa, a dedicated small business owner of Skip's Barbershop. On Atwell's?
Atwell's in Eagle Square, baby.
Woo woo! He brings a unique blend with his background in comedy. The man behind comedy and the man behind the cuts.
This was fun. So you had met Anthony before this as well.
Yeah, so I went in with Shelly, who is one of our account managers. And he was actually one of the first reels like I had to make. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Well, I was in special. There for like 2 hours, just like talking to him, talking to one of his other barbers, Nick. And it was just, it was so fun, like laid back. And I think that perfectly like sums up who Anthony is as a person.
Yes. Like I same thing. I went there when I was just starting with Shelly for like a meeting. And I was just, you know, Shelly's teaching me everything. And like just immediately I was like, oh my God, this is the funniest person I've met in a long time. And then I think while we were talking, I think I just like I said something like joking, like you should do stand up. He's like, oh, I used to do stand up for a decade. I'm like, that makes sense.
That tracks.
Yeah, it is. And it's so funny because when I first started this job, everyone gave me the warning, like when you go out on the road, you don't got to keep your wallet in the car because it's easy to spend money everywhere. But slowly, which I think I really love about this job, is that like a lot of these places that we go to end up becoming like I end up becoming a patron of a lot of these places.
Oh, 100%.
And sometimes there are clients I now work with, like they choose to like advertise with us, or they're just places I go anyway. Like it's just so funny. Like I go to Skip's Barber because of meeting him. I just liked him.
Yeah.
I thought the place was cool. He does a quality cut, and I just started going there, and it's like it's really fun.
Is that why your hair has been looking so fresh
actually
recently?
It is 100% Skip. Yeah, and I liked who I was seeing before. I really liked who I saw before. But and then for years, a long time, I was definitely a floater, like cost cutters or like
whoever
I can get in with. And I was seeing someone, Laura, who I really liked, who was like a family friend. But then her schedule got out of whack, and she was just harder to get in with. And usually it was my fault of like, Skip's, I can do it online.
And that's everything.
I'm not going to lie. That's probably 90% of the reason I end up continue to go there, because it's super easy to book.
Yeah.
Of just like, I can just on a whim be like, all right, I need a haircut tomorrow. Because instead of like planning 3 weeks ahead, that's never going to happen for me.
No, I'll cancel it.
Yeah, it's not happening. So I started going there and like, dad, just funny dude. He's a funny guy. This one well. This one went well. I don't think we haven't edited yet. I don't think we're going to take out much.
No.
Just some couple spots. But no, funny. It was such a good time. And I love people's perspective who aren't from here. And I think that's kind of something you and I bring. Because I think Nick and Sasha were both from Rhode Island.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. So I think, you know, Connecticut and Massachusetts, not that far. But when you're in Rhode Island, it's another world. So, like, I think it was cool to hear his perspective coming from Boston. And then, like, living in the East Bay and the Bay, and I'm working in Providence, and it's cool. That was a good time. But so, speaking, you know, Skip being our stand up guy, well, I know when we first met, one of the first things we found out is that we're both super big comedy fans.
Mm.
I think one, was it you? Remember?
Taylor Tomlinson?
Yeah, like out of nowhere, you're like, did you go see her?
I did.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I saw Taylor Tomlinson last night, and I like had just learned about her like the week before, and I was like, who are you? Why are you so famous? She's funny, though.
She's so funny. She just recently came out with a new Netflix special.
Oh, is it good?
It's good. It's funny.
You know what's funny? There's a lot of comedians I love, but like I would never... I don't know Kumail's... I love Kumail Nanjiani. I don't know his stand-up. I don't think I could tell you any of his bits, but I know all the... I know his work.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to my podcast, and like I'll listen to him. I'd go see him if you come around. Are you kidding me? You know, local comedian who is hilarious would be Ray Harrington, a hopeful guest of this show. They just had a show at Fun Bearable, did their Fun Winter Bowl. They had some fun pun. Our good friends at over Fun Bearable.
Oh, Winter Wonderland, Fun Bearable
Pod. Yes, yeah. Thank you. Our friends of the pod. Hopefully Ray will be a guest at some point. But we just did that nice Instagram live with Chuck to help promote it, which was really well. But the reason I did want to talk about comedy, because Skip being the comedian, See?
Anthony.
I think everyone must do that to him. Fellow comedy fan. Did you, in the most recent issue of Providence Monthly, which would be March, so if you're listening to this in real time, and you, if it's past March, shoot us a DM on Instagram, and we can mail you a copy or send you a digital one. But Kenny Abes, I don't know if he knows I call him that, he interviewed Paul Macario, who is a Providence native. And he's
He's performing March 9th at United.
Do you know that off the top of your head, or is that in your computer screen?
No, I do know that off I know the top
you,
of my
I
head.
I thought you did.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Damn. Where's United? Is that
in Westerly.
Is that part of URI?
No. It's in downtown Westerly.
And you've been to that theater? I have not.
I have been to it. It's very, very cool and definitely worth checking out. There is a Taylor Swift kind of theme vibe to it.
I like that.
You know, because she has a house in Westerly.
I know.
But yeah, they do like so much. They have like a black box. They have an actual like movie theater. Really? They also do like kids, like sing-along classes, like things like that. So yeah, they have like a lot to offer.
I have to go there. That sounds amazing. Yeah. This was fun. So I think this is a good episode. I think we had a lot of laughs.
Yeah.
And I think we should, how do you say, let's let it rip.
Let's, I can't even, let's let it rip.
Thank you so much and welcome to the show. We'll start off with we ask everyone the same question. Well, what do you think makes Rhode Island so great?
What do I think, mate? Well, as a Boston guy who's been here for 2 years, you know, that's an interesting question. You get, you know, like beaches, right? Pasta. But it's funny, like in my industry, I uniquely get to like meet a broad range of people in my industry and sit down and have like a half hour conversation with them all. And what I found with Rhode Island, my favorite thing is the people. And coming from Boston, I couldn't quite see how, like, I didn't understand how different they were from, like, because we're on Newbury Street. I mean, we're on like Tremont Street and we're in South Boston and it's all the Northeast, right? We're an hour away. And I was like, why are Rhode Islanders so different? And my favorite thing is like people here are so used to like being here. They're like locally driven, right? Like they don't care about world issues. It's not that they don't care about them. They're a secondary issue to getting to know you as their neighbor. And I that's my favorite thing about Rhode Island.
I really like that. Yeah, I think none of us are from Rhode Island in this room.
That's right? So ridiculous.
Yeah. I think I don't know how accurate it is, but it feels like everyone who grew up here hates it and everyone who moves here loves it.
Hey, Rhody, welcome. We're invading.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Well, you're both from Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
You're from Boston.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew you worked in Boston, but I know that's where you're from.
Yeah.
That's so dope. That's awesome. That's the good answer. I'm waiting for like when we get the first like native Rhode Islander to come on and be like, nothing. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm from Connecticut, so I could talk shit about my state.
Well,
all
that's
day.
Like so that's my like stereo. That's like the answer I would give to like what I truly love about it. My favorite thing about Rhode Island is watching local news in the morning compared to Boston. Oh my god,
I love it.
Really? Like, yeah. What's different?
So the lack of production value is just it's just beautiful, right?
Like, oh, like it's like the Channel 12 or whatever.
Oh yeah. My, I love them all. I watch them all. I mean, Mario Hario, Allison Bologna, you know what I mean? Julie Caracciola, you know, I'm like, oh man, this is fantastic.
That's true.
You know, one day I dream of Mario Hario coming to the barbershop and me giving him a haircut, you know.
Am I able to hear this?
Yeah. I ran into the chef one day on Federal Hill, you know, the chef he cooks with on Saturdays.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah. I was like, you're the chef from this. He's like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. You don't want to talk to me.
Yeah. That's wild. So the other thing I'm really curious to hear about is like, so you know, give us a little overview of what Skips is in Boston, because I wasn't really aware of it until I went to Skips in Providence.
So you know, Skips Barbershop, 78 Dorchester Street, South Boston, was originally named Skip Scarrow Smart Cuts. It opened in 1906. Opened in 1906. I think in 1909 it moved to the building we're currently in. Across the street from where it originally opened. Skip Scarrow, you know, ran the business. His son took it over. And then his grandson, Bobby Scarrow, who, you know, everyone like lovingly called him Skip, you know, like the name. It's like the Dread Pirate Roberts from like The Princess Bride.
Nice.
Have you ever seen that? Like, so he's like, he wasn't even the original Dread Pirate Roberts, you know, like he just kept, they kept passing it down. So they open it. Bobby is who I took it over from. Bobby had been there. You know, he was like a legend. You know, everyone's like, oh, Skip. You know, I cut in a barbershop around the corner for about 5 years. And we would go down there and Bobby would like mix our shave soap for us because we ran like this crazy Groupon with like a face shave and a haircut for $20. So like I think we sold like 250 of them and I had to do like at least 170 of them. And I don't know if you've ever sold a Groupon in a business, but the people who show up, man. Oh,
it's scary.
They're not coming back. I'd be like, dude, use this for two haircuts. You don't want to shave that face. Like, no, I want to try a straight razor shave. I'm like, all right. So we'd go down there and Bobby would be like, you kids, you don't know what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like he was great. He was like a legend in South. He was like a legendary softball player. Like people would talk about his like until the day he died, like people talked about his softball prowess. You know, he'd be like, yeah, I'd cut my hair and then he'd run to a softball game, you know, and like epic.
Awesome.
So Bobby and I became friends and he had to go out for some treatment. So I think he took like 7 or 8 months off and he sent all his guys up to me. So I had to learn how to do flat tops and all kinds of cuts that like no one did before. And when he came back, I sent his guys back down. I just popped in one day just to thank him and his wife was there. And we just got to talk and, you know, his wife was, they were both from Charlestown, like where my grandparents and my family is, moved to Arlington. My grandparents had moved to Arlington and, you know, his son went to Arlington Catholic. I went to Arlington High and Minuteman. So like, we were just shooting the shit for about an hour. And, when I was leaving, I was like, hey, Bobby, if you ever want to retire and, you know, keep this place a barbershop, I'd love to have my own spot someday. And I think about 2 days later, I got a phone call from his son. And
damn.
Yeah, it was a long path to like taking it over. But, you know, I took it over and, you know, Skip still lives on. And his brother recently came by the Southie location. His brother lives in South Carolina. He came by and it's just good to keep it going. You know, the family, I think, appreciates it. And the lineage is just pretty amazing, you know.
There's so few spots left like that, like the places have been around for like 100+ years or whatever. Mm. Like it's a dying breed, but it's cool. And like you can feel it when you go to those places. Like I just went to Mystic Pizza for the first time in Connecticut.
Was Julia Roberts there? Because
I'm from Connecticut. I've never seen the movie. I don't need to get movie.
Really?
Yeah, I don't need to watch.
It's a fantastically bad 80s movie.
I feel like I have to watch it now just because but it was like I got that vibe, like same vibe. It was like it's the grandkids now run it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just family owned, and there's something you just I don't know. Or like I'm a big Frank Pepe's fan, especially when those types of places.
I tried to go to Pepe's, like, President's Day weekend. We were down in Jersey for a wedding. We were driving back with a little guy, and I was like, oh, we're going to go to Sally's.
Yes.
We're going to go to Sally's. Like, man. I pulled in, and I didn't realize it was a holiday.
Oh.
And I looked at the line, and I was like, oh, shit. And then I was like, well, Pepe's is here, and we parked, and I took him out of the car. And you can't put a 2-year-old back in a car after he's been there for 3 hours. So we walk over to Pepe's, and the line at Pepe's is around.
Also long.
Yeah, and I was just, and my wife's like, I'm not having this. And I was like, well, what are we going to do? She's like, well, there's this Italian place across the street. Let's go there.
Was it good?
Zippy's.
Oh, Zippy's? Yeah,
Zippy's. So they have, like, Neapolitan pizza, which is, like, and here's the thing. I'm not judging people who love Neapolitan pizza. I get why you love it. It's just not my, not my jam. You know, I didn't come here for I wanted a coal-fired. I want some cancer, some carcinogens.
Oh,
I want
the
cheese. So we go over there, and, you know, funny enough, I think I had the best cacio e pepe I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
The meatballs were fantastic. That place is fantastic.
It's been there forever.
Yeah, I mean, our waiter was clearly off the boat from Italy. You know, he was not a happy man.
Yep.
Great service, no smile.
Sounds about right.
That's how you know a place is good, when they can, like, just kind of be really shitty to you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he was, like, you know, he just, like, didn't care that we were there. You know what I mean? It's like, he did everything he was supposed to do on time, even fast, but, you know.
There's this famous story of, in the same area, in New Haven, which there's Louie's Lunch, which is, like, the birthplace of the hamburger.
Okay.
Super small, maybe, like, 4 of these rooms, like, it literally, like, set in time. And the famous story is, because Bill Clinton went to Yale, Bill Clinton was in office when he wanted to go to Louie's. With the Secret Service, that made him wait in line. Because they just don't give a fuck.
I respect that.
Who you are.
You know, I want to be a small business someday that doesn't care about their customers. Just because they're like, what we do is we're the only ones that do it now.
It's like we've been here. And they're famous because if you order ketchup, they'll throw you out.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it.
The guy's insane. Like, he's absolutely crazy.
Now, was that just for hot dogs? Because that I don't mind
ketchup. No, they just do burgers. Oh,
no ketchup on a burger, huh?
No ketchup. They only sell burgers, and it's...
with nothing on it? Like, just a burger and a bun?
Stuff on it. Not even bun. It's toast. Because it's the first, it's the first burger ever made. So
buns weren't even invented. Buns weren't even invented.
Buns weren't around. Yeah,
it's in the shape of a pentagon. Actually,
they're still the same machines from like 1800 or whatever. It's cool. The Pepe's before they expanded to a chain, they were like that too. Where like you would go there, and they were just I would go there all the time, wait 2 hours in line, and the person would be like just complete asshole to you. And they could basically step over a dead body, and you're like, I'll take the seat. Like, they just don't care. Then they expanded, and they had to get a little nicer and add salad and stuff.
Yeah. Salad.
But there was a time at Pepe's, and all that was just pizza. That's I'm pretty
beautiful.
Sure.
It's beautiful. We got something like that in Boston, San Tarpio's in Eastie. You know, going in, the old guys, he's like, he's all grizzled, and he's like, what do you want? We don't have that.
It's like, I'm home.
Be mean to me, Dad. Yeah. How much of is like the stereotypes of like the Boston movie? Like, what's that Ben Affleck one?
The Town.
The Town.
I'm in that. Don't blink, you'll miss me.
Really?
Yeah. I'm an extra in the AA scene.
Well, that's all right. Back up. Yeah. How did that happen?
I went to AA.
That'll do it.
And after a meeting one day, there was just a casting agent like, hey, we need people for a scene for AA. I was like, is this even like allowed? Like Alcoholics Anonymous? Like this isn't very anonymous. Like they literally filmed it in the place where we have our AA meeting.
Did you have to sign something?
Yeah. Like we just share extra papers and whatnot. You know what I mean? But like, no.
I've run AA groups. I've never had a casting director in my entire life come up to me. The thing is, I wouldn't say no. I'd be like, yes, put me in it. But that's what.
So, so everyone from the meeting was like in the movie.
I mean, if that's not a reason to get sober.
Right?
I mean,
you can meet Ben Affleck, you know.
So just what scene is I haven't seen that movie
so
in a
it's
minute.
Like he goes he's like it's like at the beginning it's like a kind of slight montage scene. Like they go to the meeting, there's like a guy speaking, and then Ben Affleck is leaving, and there's all these people doing like voiceovers, you know. And like I know all the people doing the voiceovers because, you know, I grew up with them and went to the meeting
wild.
With them.
Yeah. Have you seen that movie, Chella?
I literally have it up on YouTube right now. I'm trying to.
So I'm wearing a blue Scally cap and a Red Sox jersey because, you know, Boston.
Because, quintessential.
I actually, if you see me in there, Jenna, by the way, I gained 35 pounds just for that role.
Yeah. That's dedication.
You know what
That's
I mean?
Crazy. That's crazy. What year has this movie come out?
Ah, jeez. Well, I was sober, so 2012, 2013.
Yeah, like 12 years ago?
Yeah,
I feel so.
I mean, I didn't stay sober. You know, I took that residual check, that $150, and I got messed up.
That's a swim, right? You got to fall.
I tied one on.
So you can blame Ben Affleck, right?
Yeah, no, it wasn't his fault.
That's wild. Yeah. Dude,
how realistic is that movie?
Yeah.
Not very.
Not the bank robber part, but personality, like the opening scene, Departed.
So The Departed, that's near and dear to me. I do love that movie. I think that's a fantastic movie. The Town... And no slight on Ben, you know, but the more I watch it, the more I when it first came out, I was in a theater in Boston Commons with like, I think the whole theater was full of kids from Charlestown. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And like my favorite part is like all the girls in the audience, like at the end of the movie, the Blake Lively character, they're like, that's not real. And I was like, that was the best acting I saw in the movie.
Oh, I forget she's in that movie.
Oh, wait, I think, were you in a gray...
Gray red, so yeah. I mean, it's the Nomar Garcia Parra. It's either a Boggs jersey or Garcia Parra.
It's like as he's, yeah, literally.
Can we put this on the gram when
you can do
drops?
It? Yeah, absolutely.
It's like as Ben Affleck is walking.
Yo,
it's panic.
You got to be in the scene with Affleck.
Yeah. No, he was honestly a super sweet dude. Like he hung around, talked to everyone after.
Was he in recovery at this point?
I have no clue. I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
He became open about his alcoholism. Yeah. I forgot when though. That's.
I mean, everybody's just an alcoholic at some point, you know?
Right? So, like, that's him right there in the corner.
Oh, shit.
Right? You see that weight gain, right? That's right? Like, wild. Raging Bull,
you're
De Niro.
Just,
you know what I mean?
So committed. So, are you, so as I know that you're doing, are you in stand up at this time or does that come?
Yeah. No, I think I was still doing, I probably just started kind of getting into stand up. Like, I'd done it a little bit, but yeah, I was doing it then, yeah. I got into stand up accidentally. I was at a bar across the street from a bar I was working at, and, they had like an open mic night. And at the time, there's like a Celtics playoff game going on. And like, these guys are up at the backstage of the bar and they're just doing jokes and no one's paying attention. The kid who's like running the open mic is like sitting next to me. He's like, this crowd's terrible. And I was like, I don't know if the crowd's terrible, but like the comics are terrible. And he's like, why, you think you could do better?
Oh,
and
I was like,
yeah. Yeah, I absolutely do. He's like, well, then go up and do better. And so I did.
I feel like that's how like every great story starts. It's like, well, you think you can do better? It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I just listened to this for about 15 minutes and I can totally do better. And that's what I did. And I got the crowd's attention. I held it for about 5 minutes and I dropped the mic and walked off.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Did you perform again shortly after or did it take a while?
No, I think it took a couple months and then I looked up like open mics and whatnot and started going around doing that. And then like I would also say that like I never got any better than I did at that show.
I've heard like, that.
I peaked. And I stayed at that level of comedy for 10 years.
That's crazy. I have heard their stories. A lot of people like, did you great the first time and then just bomb the second time?
Well, that's the, you know, it's like, so, you know, I don't know if I've ever truly bombed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm funny enough, you know, like, you know, I come from a parents of divorce, you know, broken home, half Irish, half Italian. I had to be funny to survive, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I've never really bombed. I mean, I've had things not go well. You know, I like to dig myself in a hole. I've dug myself in a hole. I like to dig myself out and then jump right back in it, you know?
So let's, we'd love to kind of spend some time in your comedy world because we're both huge comedy fans. So what are you, like growing up in Boston, what are your Boston comedy influences or Boston or regional?
I mean, Boston comedy is, I went to high school with Dane Cook. Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh my God.
So he's a couple years older than me. He's a couple years older than me. So Al Del Benny, they used to do this thing, Al and the Monkeys, at, like the Kowloon. And Al is just funny, just a funny, funny human. But, you know, Boston comedy is, you know, some of the best, like Stephen Wright, you know, I mean, Patrice O'Neill, like, number one, right? Like, I don't, you know, when I'm always listing my top five comics, it's like, well, I kind of want to just always put him at one, you know, I don't know if there's someone who did it better. And obviously, like, I get the Bill Burr stuff all the time. And you remind me of Bill Burr. And I'm like, what are you saying? I look like Bill Burr? What do you say?
Like,
because I think I look like Chris Pratt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, I can see how I remind someone of Bill Burr.
It's the Boston thing.
But yeah, you know.
Did you perform with Bill?
No, I've never actually performed.
Oh,
Bill.
No.
I've been there in the back, like backstage when he's been around. Because he'll just pop in.
Oh, God. He's so fucking funny.
Yeah, he's good. You know, unfortunately, the nights where I would have performed with him, like, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going. And then he shows up at the comedy studio. And you're like, and, you know, comics you can't stand it, taking pictures with him. And you're like,
that should be me.
Like, and what am I going to get from performing with Bill Burr? He's going to be like, oh, I want to take you on tour. I want you to open for me because you sound just like me. And you do the same kind of stuff I do. That's like, he's not taking me. You know what I mean?
I want my twin.
Right?
It's like the Spider-Man meme where they're like all pointing.
They're all pointing at each other.
I need like Nate Bergatz. You know what I mean? Someone's completely clean to be like, oh, this guy's completely different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was just here too.
Oh, people love him.
I know.
People love him.
You know Nate Bergatz?
Bergatze? I don't know.
Bergatze?
He's Southern, but he's super funny.
He was just here. I know that.
So he sold out the Boston Garden.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Comedy is so weird like that, where like there can be people you've never heard of and they're like selling out Madison.
That's what I'm like. I got invited by two different groups of friends to go see Nate Bergatze. And one was at Boston Garden and one was at the Dunk. And I was like, first off, neither one of those places are small enough to go to a comedy show.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Number two, who is Nate Bergatze?
I know. I think he's hilarious. I remember having that with, who was it? I drawn a blank. Yeah, ignore that.
You're
one.
You're drawing a blank. Oh, Chris.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris is never short of words.
Do you know Mark? You know, like Mark Norman. Like,
no,
not
no.
A household name by any means.
Okay.
He's played Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, you know.
Because Amy opened for Amy Schumer, but still, like that's insane to me.
So Amy Schumer played Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, he's the opener. Yeah.
You don't get to count where you played if you're just the opener.
I don't know if it's the Garden. I think you get it.
All right, cool.
I gave it to you. If you played any dope ass venues, you're your opener. It still counts. But it's that's wild. Or like you know, but I'm with you too about the comedy. I'm a big fan. I like the small theater or small room.
Yeah,
I don't comedy clubs are. I'm okay with.
I like East Providence, the comedy.
Like that place.
I do. I love that place. That's like one of my favorite rooms to perform in.
So little.
It's like you can see the crowd, but they're dark enough that you don't see them making eye contact with you. You know, I think my wife's favorite show I ever did was there.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like a showcase on a Sunday night, and everyone was bombing, and everyone was blaming the crowd, talking trash about the crowd. And she's like, "Are you terrified?" And I was like, "Absolutely not."
What did you get up there?
I just went up there and I just, well, I wasn't going to just go up there and start doing my tight five on those people. They weren't ready for it. So I just got up there. Right? I made them my friends. You know what I mean? Right? Yeah.
Do you ever see that famous Def Comedy Jam where it's, is it Steve Harvey comes out? No, Bernie Mac comes out. Like, it's at the Live at the Apollo. It's like Def Comedy Jam in the 90s. Everyone's bombing. And then I think it's Bernie Mac comes out and he goes, "I ain't scared of you motherfuckers." And he just destroys it. It's like one of the best comedy sets you've ever seen.
Right?
Like, everyone, like every famous comedian before him just eats it and eats it and eats it, and then he's like, just comes out like, I don't know, I feel like whenever I've been learning sales, especially with Shelly and stuff, like there's, I feel like I always tell Shelly, I'm like, I feel like sales is very like stand-up, it's like a cousin of stand-up, like,
there's like a level
of like rehearsal improv you have to have, and then like confidence, and if you don't have that confidence, you gotta fake it.
Yeah, right. Oh, I mean, 90% of life is faking it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've actually stopped doing that in life. People stop faking, and it's very disappointing. It hasn't gone well. It's not gone well now.
It's like we had to fake it much, and now the next generation, they're just like, they don't have to at all.
They're just like, whatever.
Because even you guys, like, I'm Gen X, so like we just faked everything. You know what I mean? Like, we had no expectations. You know, the world was going to be a worse place than it was before.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's all
right. And we have kids.
It's not your fault. It's the boomers. You know, you guys are the millennials. Thanks, you guys are going to save us.
I know. Are you a millennial?
That's scary.
You're both technically millennial.
Yes. I'm like, I think they call me an elder. I'm 84.
Yeah. You're the old. Yeah. So 82 is when they, 80 is when they start. Between 80 and 83. Something that depends on what book you're reading.
94.
So what are you? Yeah. Oh, so we're millennials.
Yeah, you're millennials.
Yeah, I think I'm like a young millennial.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, team young millennial, right. Which I don't really know what that means.
What's the difference between an elder millennial and a young millennial?
No fucking
45 pounds.
I think it's more than that. I'm like a general. Like, it's definitely more than that.
It could go either way.
Oh my God. That's too funny.
So funny. Well, so how did you end up opening in Providence?
That's a great. See, that's why we keep Jenna here, right?
That's great. I have to.
If it was just me and Chris, we'd be.
We'd be microdosing. Talking about microdosing right now.
No, I brought that up last time.
Yeah, you did. I still want to. I just haven't been able to.
Right? So, great story. You know, my wife, who's the smartest person I know, when we met, she was going to school for cardiac echo, and she got a job at MGH, and I was like, "Oh, you're going to go to med school someday." And she's like, "Oh, I don't want to do it." You know, she's got a fine arts degree from BU. You know, she's got a bachelor's in science from Mass College of Pharmacy. And, you know, about 4 years into it, she's like, 3.5 years into it, she's like, "Oh, I think I'm going to go to med school." So she, you know, did her pre-med at Harvard Extension and, you know, studied for the MCAT, and she got accepted to Brown, you know. So that's what brought us down to Rhode Island.
Wait, artist and medicine?
She's an artist, and you know, she will one day, if things go, become a doctor.
Yeah, wow.
If they keep going the way they go.
That's like such...
I don't win a lot of arguments. Yet.
Yeah.
You stand no chance.
One time I was defending my stand-up. She's like, "Don't put me in your stand-up." I was like, "It's my art." And she looked at me and she goes, "You're not an artist. You're an entertainer."
Like, it must have hurt, but also
it's so true. It's so true.
You're like wiping back a tear, but you're proud.
I was like, "Yeah, I am an entertainer."
God, the husband means upset, but the comedian means like really proud of you.
Oh, yeah. She's the funny. She says she wrote all my best jokes.
Is she funnier than you?
No.
No.
I wouldn't say she's not funny though. She's not.
Yeah.
But no one's funny.
She hears this, what she's saying in the car, like, "Oh yeah."
You know, like last night we were sitting on the couch and we were watching Love is Blind, and she's like, "It's so much more fun with you." You know what I mean? Because like and she's like, "Would you ever watch this?" I was like, "I would never watch this without you." Yeah.
No. Do you watch that, Jenna? I feel like you're a reality person.
Oh yeah. Are you kidding me?
I don't know what it is. Love is Blind.
So fully engrossed.
Are you caught up on this season?
As soon as they come out, I am watching them.
The girl Jess reminds me of my wife. So my wife's Jessica. She's Jess. And remember how she was like, they were talking and she went after him. She just kind of hit him. This is before the breakup, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, huh."
You're like, "This is familiar."
Yeah. Like, you know this, right? Yeah. And then she's like, when he dumped her, she's like, "You're going to choke. You're going to choke when you see me."
Yeah. She's like, "You're going to need that EpiPen." I'm like, "Damn. Okay."
That was awesome. right for the gut, you know?
Yeah, like no remorse.
So my wife got accepted to Brown, which was like super, I was super pumped because, you know, I have two barbershops in Boston, and like, you know, the fear of med school is like, you don't know where you're going to get accepted. You don't know where you're going to go. And so the cool part about Providence is like, it kind of like was close enough. Right. Yeah. And like, we had discussed, like, do we live in like, you know, the midway point from Brown to Boston, like, you know, but like, you know, what are we looking at? You know, Foxborough, like
Walpole.
Walpole. I was like, yeah, I was like, why don't we just go live in Providence? You know, like let's live in the city. You know, it was like, I can drive to work. It's not a big deal. And, you know, we came down looking at places and, you know, we slowly, you know, just eating at different restaurants, you know, spending the day looking at houses and whatnot. And we just fell in love with the city and we were super pumped to come down here. And I'd actually made an offer on a condo right by where Skips is, on Atlas Ave over in like, I forget what it's called.
Eagle Square?
It's right by like, you know, the new Farm Fresh building. There's like a beautiful mill building there. It's like Montessoyet or something. They name everything after something.
I can't keep up.
Some Indian and that they're culturally appropriated his name for their building.
Right.
Right.
Or it's like the old rubber factory.
Yeah. And then, and then poisoned his stream. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No between.
But the place was like an artist loft building and like the condo was beautiful. And like, I can remember looking at it and I was like, I'm going to feel like Matthew McConaughey in the morning, drinking my coffee, looking out here, you know? And, we didn't get it and I was super bummed. And then like a week later we found out we were pregnant. So it was like, you know, it was, and buying at the time we were buying was post just after the pandemic. So like you had to pull all the stops. So it was like all cash offers and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a vision of living right in the city or living on College Hill and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And like, we found out we were pregnant, so we paused a year. And what really happened is my realtor down here was, I got hooked up with him and through my accountant. They had gone to high school together, my accountant's partner. So he's like, oh, call my guy Joe. So he was our realtor. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Strive Realty.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. Like Joe Kaluka, great guy. And, you know, he was our realtor. And the whole time, even that first year, he's like, oh, I'm doing a mill over right around the corner. You know, you should put a barbershop in. You should put a bar. And like one day he's like, oh yeah, you should come see the mill. I really want to put a barbershop in. And my wife just looks over. She goes, he'll do it. And I was like, ch-ch-ch. I took like a double take. Cause every time I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about opening another shop, thinking about expanding. She's like, why would you do that? Stop.
Yeah.
You know? And, I was like, wait, I'm getting the green light. You know what I mean? Like it's like a dog when like, you're like, you can have it. He's like, oh, I can.
Yeah, I can.
I'm not sure. I'm used to no.
Are you sure?
Yeah. It's like with my 2-year-old, if I tell him he can do something, he's like, I don't want to do that. If I say no, he's climbing up the side of a building.
Right. You know?
So I'm a 2-year-old is basically what I've realized in life. And, so Joe, you know, we took a couple months off. We had the baby. We started coming back down. Joe had made more progress on the mill. And, one day after looking at a place, he's like, let's go by and look at the mill. And so we were driving over together and we're coming down Atwell's. And, you know, you pass the church on the left, you're coming down the hill out of like Federal Hill into Olneyville. And he points at the mill and he's like, that would be the front door to the shop. And I literally had like a double take because I was like, dude, we used to come here in the 90s to go like this illegal after hours club in that building. And I was like, I got history. You know what I mean? So...
I feel like I want to hear more about that.
I know. I'm like, wait, what? Well,
before we do it, I actually have one quick question. For Strive, is that connected to the restaurant?
Yeah. So he just opened a Strive. They just opened. Yeah. They're up at the old Club Eagles by PC.
Yes. Okay.
Fantastic food.
The April issue of Providence Monthly has an article, then your ad is on the other page. Yeah. So that's right. Yeah. Shelly was like, I was like, what a cute, that's such a cool story. Both on the same page.
Yeah. So, so Joe, you know, talked me into it and, did this beautiful build out for the shop. You know,
it looks really nice.
What
was that building before you took it?
Was a furniture where I think back in the old days, it was a packing plant, a meat packing plant.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it was a furniture where, I mean, who the hell knows? It was a,
I want to hear about
this. Sure, it was a BDSM sex club at one time, you know,
probably not. The possibilities are endless.
It is only Bill.
It was definitely squatter's rights for a long time.
Yeah. So you got, I never saw Providence in the 90s. Like,
oh my God.
We never came here. It was never like, we were in between Boston and New York. So like Providence just never came on the radar.
Yeah. I mean, Providence in the 90s, the funny thing is mid to late 90s, early 2000s, like Federal Hill was bumping. So like, even like when he pointed that spot out, I was like, oh, Federal Hill's bumping. And the funny thing is downtown was like the most disgusting, dirtiest place you'd ever seen.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen pictures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, we used to come down here. We were in high school still because you could use, like, a library card to get into, like, a strip club that had a hotel attached to it. And Like the old Dean, the Dean Hotel used to be the old Sportsman.
Yeah.
And I would go in there as a 17-year-old kid and just be like morbidly overwhelmed and love every second of it.
It was it was a massage parlor. This is when I lived here, when I was living here, when I moved here, because I worked at the Starbucks in the Biltmore. Those people from that hotel would always come in all the time. They're all really nice. I never went in there, but was it massage parlor, hotel, strip club?
Oh yeah, all in one. All
and
in
prostitution
one.
Was legal.
Oh yeah.
Prostitution was legal in Rhode Island up until like maybe a few years ago, or maybe even currently, but
I don't know. I mean, is it still legal? I don't know.
Depends
legal, on who you ask.
Yeah. Legal, illegal,
like indoor
legal. Area.
You know? That's how the hotel existed, or something. Yeah, they used to. Oh my god, the sex workers would come in there. They're all super nice. But like, oh, you should come by sometime. Like, thanks. I'm gonna not do that, but thank you. Good luck to you.
Hey, you know, they're just promoting. You know, they didn't have podcasts back then. Yeah. That's how they did it.
I respect them.
They're out there trying their best.
They didn't have this medium. You know, you couldn't get an hour yourself on a
it's
on,
different. Yeah. You know, it's weird. Speaking of sex workers and advertising.
Hey, are you going into a new career, Chris?
Yeah, I'm gonna actually start naked and pay people.
Have you talked to your wife about this?
Yeah, it's reverse OnlyFans where you start naked and people pay you to put clothes on.
I love it.
Gonna
love
make
it.
So much money.
I was saying the other day, I was like, if guys could make money off OnlyFans, the world would end tomorrow.
We'd all just never leave the house. Yeah, but like, I was in Vegas last year for work, for like literally a podcast conference, so it's like the dorkiest thing you could ever do. And the cab driver from the airport literally...
How are the smells at that? How
disgusting.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Because smoking's still legal indoors. Oh, nice. So everything smells like cigarettes and booze. And
I would assume it's like going into like a locker room with like pre-pubescent boys.
But maybe worse. Yeah, that was cigarettes.
Like, deodorant's not going to work.
I did not like
it. Add cigarettes. So it's like a locker room in 1974.
Yeah. And then the odor just stayed there. Dude, the fucking cab driver hands us cards with like sex workers or strippers. And then, had a code on the back. He's like, you see these girls? You tell them I sent you.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, but where do I get, a good bacon, egg, and cheese? Or where's a dispensary? And he kept trying. And that's all Vegas was, just sex workers soliciting
He was affiliate marketing. Let him live.
I was impressed, but it was, 3 in the morning.
So, I mean, last time I was in Vegas, I got in my cab, and he didn't even drive me to my hotel. He drove me to the dispensary. He's like, I will wait out here for you. I was okay.
It's a weird city. I've only been once, and it was for work, so I didn't fully truly explore it, but
I was like, oh, this is how it's going down.
I didn't like did you like Vegas? I did not.
You know, I have a love-hate relationship with Vegas. There's parts of it I love, there's parts of it I hate. You know, I'm always excited on the plane when you're going there, you know, and I'm always excited to be on the plane going home.
That's
kind of how I feel about
it. It was dirty. My friend Rachel grew up there, and her parents are like the DAs and stuff. She's actually in the new Jackass movie.
Oh, nice.
But she'd always tell me, growing up there, she's like, but it was like, yeah, when you grew up there, it's just like a regular city. But then the stories we would hear, be like, I don't know. Like the way I guess you would probably go to some illegal drug party down in Providence.
I think Vegas kids do that. Like, you know, I actually cut a guy here in Rhode Island who lived in Vegas through his teens, you know, to his, you know, Rhode Island family, lived here and then moved out there, and he grew up out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they get started early.
I think you're just your weird parties are like the Vellagio and the random celebrities are walking through.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, what? I definitely want to hear back. I want to hear more about your time at Providence in the 90s for you. So,
Providence in the
90s. Are you coming down for music parties?
So, yeah, music, food? You know, the music scene down here was great in the 90s and the 2000s. You could see shows you couldn't see in Boston and whatnot. But mostly strip clubs, you know, I mean, because you're a teenager. You know,
that's so wild to me.
Yeah.
You go.
They let you in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They let you. And then Foxwoods, you know, we'd go to Foxwoods. I think I was 19. We'd go to Foxwoods. You know, I'd use my cousin's ID. He'd use his ID. I missed out on all of this. Yeah. Back to back. Same ID. The guy would be at the door. Be like, oh, that's not good. But go ahead. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, pizza concertas, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
It's Onlyville too, because they're famous for Onlyville's super famous for having just warehouses that are completely empty, but then you go in some secret door and then it's a bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Or there's concerts or my old neighbor, he lived in an abandoned loft in Onlyville up until 2015.
Nice. Yeah. He just squatted in an abandoned loft.
Yeah, well, by the time we had met, we were working together, but he was recovering.
Oh, nice. He got a job. Great. Yeah. See?
He was a peer specialist, though.
You know,
but when he was using, he lived in the warehouses in Onlyville.
I mean, I got a guy who lives in that condo building I almost bought. He has a Fet music halls there and all that kind of stuff. Onlyville's cool. I love Onlyville. It's
I do too. Only the hot wieners?
Dude, I've never had one. You know, I'm a hot dog connoisseur.
Yeah. If you haven't had one, can you even say that?
Yeah. I think I can. I think I can.
I just had my first one for the at the so other one.
Thoughts?
I went to the one on Smith Street, Baba's, which is the original. It was actually really good.
One of them's closing, isn't it?
It might. They're,
is it New York Systems?
The one on Smith Street. They're not closing, but they're just struggling.
Yeah.
So anyone out there, go support them because they're super nice.
The
people.
Hot dog craze, the nitrates. No one wants nitrates anymore. What are we gonna do?
You know? Yeah, but you know that the fun story. She told they told me the story that you know that famous Talking Head video. The singer of the Talking Heads used to work at that the one Baba's New York System.
Okay.
On Smith Street. So in the video of that Once in a Lifetime video, he's doing this like weird arm chopping dance.
That's him
stacking hot dogs, hot wieners. I was like, that needs to be your marketing campaign right there.
Yeah, he went to RISD, right?
I think they're a RISD band.
They're all RISD, yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
Janet, do you even know who the Talking Heads are?
I wish I could say yes. I've heard of them, but I can't picture them.
No, they're good.
Paramore discovered them.
Yeah, I mean it's progressive rock, and it's
kind of weird.
Yeah.
They're super weird.
Yeah,
I never really got super into them, but like I think they're RISD.
They're one of my favorite bands.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're sneaky good. Yeah.
Did you see the doc? I want to see that.
I have a 2-year-old, so someone's like, have you watched the Dynasty documentary? And I'm like, yeah, I have a 2-year-old. I don't know.
Yes, I have six free hours to just...
I watch Love is Blind.
Yeah.
My wife's like, one more episode. I'm like, they're an hour long. I'm like,
I don't know what that is, to be honest. Can you two tell me what it...
Love is Blind?
I keep hearing about it, but I don't know what it
is. Okay. Buckle up, because it's a journey.
Buckle up, buttercup.
Janet, take the wheel.
Yep, I can totally on this one. So what it is singles, and they're trying to see if love is blind. So like they will date for like a week or 2 weeks. I think it's like all over a course of 2 months. They talk through a wall. So they don't see each other until like after the proposal. And then they see, And guess what?
It's called the reveal.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what Jenna and I are doing right now. We're talking through a wall. I can't see her.
Yeah. I know. We got to figure that out. It's like, it's so fun. You're both so enthralled right now. I'm so like, now I want to watch this.
Oh my. It is hysterical.
Oh, you know what? I'm thinking of the other one I've heard of too. Isn't the Love on the Spectrum. Are these two different shows?
I'm sure everyone in Love is Blind is on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point.
I have no doubt.
They're all autistic.
Yeah. But they put a wall between them so you can't tell.
Right. And then they do the reveal, and then it's like, okay.
Red flag heaven.
No one's facial.
The best is on the last episode I watched. The girl's like, she's like, people tell me I look like someone, you know? And he's like, oh, who do you look like? She's like, well, no, I'm not. I don't think I look like her. And he's like, who do you like? And she's like, Megan Fox. And I was like, bleh. I was like, no.
I know.
Stop it.
Is there a Megan Fox lookalike on the show, Jenna?
She has similar features, but it's like
stop it.
You just don't set yourself up like that. Like I'd be like, I look like the Grinch, like something like that. So it's like they expect worse,
if you find the right angle from space, I'm sure she might resemble.
If you close your eye, tilt your head this way.
If you're having a seizure as you're looking at the TV. And then the guy picked her, and he said, you said you look like Megan Fox.
Oh, wait. This is, I was going to make a meme out of it.
Oh, God.
Naturally. Let's see. Oh, wait.
I love this. I just didn't expect Love is Blind to come up today, so this is, I'm very happy.
Yeah, neither did I. I had no expectations, and once again, I'm disappointed.
Oh, no. I think the new episodes come out tomorrow, because today's Tuesday, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, today's Tuesday.
Okay.
I mean, I like reality TV sometimes. I jump around.
So this is his face when he saw her? Yeah, that's him when he first saw her. And they're hugging. But it's like, okay, also, don't point your finger if they're not clean. You got two pointing back at you. He said he looked like Christian McCaffrey.
What?
Yeah, that's right?
Oh, did he say that? I missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, on the spectrum.
Yeah.
I would love to see you two get like a reality TV show podcast going.
Christian McCaffrey,
oh
huh?
My God.
Wow. You two would be so funny.
I mean, I could see it. He has a high fade.
Well, someone's like, I read somewhere, they're like, bro, your hair is the same color as your skin. Like, who are you to talk?
Are any of these folks from Rhode Island?
Like, I mean, he is no prize. No, there's a girl from Boston on the show this year.
Oh, try to get her?
Oh, yeah. Which one? AD.
AD, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she
AD.
Was
Anthony Davis.
She was yeah. a cheer Patriots cheerleader.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's like mad reality stars that come through our from here.
Yeah.
A lot of ties.
I mean, this is reality. If you know Rhode Island, nothing but reality. Yeah. Like my commute from East Providence, that was reality.
Through the bridge. I mean,
I try to time it when I'm coming off the WOMP to get on to 195 at the same time that McGee's state trooper's doing his test drive because it only takes him 20 minutes and he has his lights going, you know?
So I try to time it
and get behind that stadium with his lights on. That's making it to downtown in 20 minutes.
It's only 15 minutes. Doesn't bother that's, you?
Dude, that is one of my favorite things about Rhode Island is the politics, like coming from Mass, like, the governor's on there after an epic bridge failure, and he's like, it's not that bad. I timed it. And I'm like, bro, I don't know if you can do that.
That's been an odd rate.
I don't think if you could tell the East Bay to F off. You know
what I mean? It's only 15 minutes.
What are you complaining about?
So are you saying Rhode Island's more corrupt or more like
I don't know about corrupt, but it's just hilarious.
Like
they just get it, like, he'll just be like, it's not bad. And then it's next day. We actually have to like, tear the whole bridge down our bad.
I mean, I would assume it's like South Dakota, you know what I mean? Like,
I've always felt like the politics here, it's always like the characters in the media here and like the politics always felt like real life Springfield. You're not wrong. It's like he's almost like Mayor Quimby, like when they would cut to and he's like everything's okay and then they pan the camera out and he's like in Hawaii with his shorts on. Like it's almost like I know he's based off one of the Kennedy cats.
Nothing to see here.
Like,
I mean, the sad part is, had he just put a bypass in before he closed the bridge, we wouldn't be none the wiser. You know what I mean?
Like, or told literally anyone the day before.
Like,
or done literally anything.
I mean, if he just announced on Monday, like, there's a new bypass over the bridge. Like, I've been living there for 2 years. There's been a new bypass every month. I'm like, all right, this is part of the plan.
Or if they, inspected it.
Like, I'm not looking in. I'm not looking into how they're building the bridge. You know what I mean? I'm just like, bypass. Yeah. This is terrible.
Oh my God.
I mean, I assume two phone calls he could have saved a lot of headaches for himself.
I know. Not even just like the money for taxpayers, more just like selfishly, like
you. Here's the thing. I love it. Like I love politics. I love the corruption side of it or whatever, but like I love the everyone's going to commit a crime. Just don't get caught. Everyone's going to mess up, just don't get caught. It's like if you're my governor and you can't get a bypass built over a weekend and not get caught, I'm disappointed. You know what I mean?
Like, you should be better.
When people were like, the Clintons, they're bad. I was like, they murdered people. I was like, have they got caught?
Yeah.
No.
Right?
You're gonna be bad. Should we talk about the crimes we've all committed?
Oh, God.
Oh, God, yeah. No.
I mean,
No.
Some of mine don't have statutes of limitations.
All mine do.
No.
Have you committed crime?
Jenna,
she seems like a goody-goody, but I
bet there's a lot of shoplifting mascara in her past.
Ooh.
Why you got to call me out like
I'm
that?
I'm just saying, I could see you going through CVS. Just like, this is mine.
The Walmart cape.
And not because you couldn't afford it, just because you wanted the rush?
It has nothing to do with...
Because you're super fucking impulsive like me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a firm believer with like all the security in like Walgreens and stuff like that, and it took shoplifting away from preteens and they replaced it with cutting. You know what I mean? Cutting wasn't around when I was a kid.
Yeah.
We all shoplifted, to get a feel, to get a rush.
Have you been in Aldi self-checkout? It's basically pay what you want.
Well, it's new now. Yeah, I think it's coming back. I think they loosened up the regulations because they're like, all right, we got some problems. Let's let these kids express themselves with a candy bar theft.
No cigarettes. I don't think I've ever done any real crime.
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah, I live in Rhode Island, so I got to cover that bridge somehow. You watch The Bear. We talked about The Bear, right?
Yeah, I've seen The Bear.
Does he not remind you of Richie?
Yes.
Yeah, Richie from The Bear. I'll take that.
Have you watched The Bear? Yeah. Have you watched the whole thing?
Like yeah, season two? I mean, and I just want some time back. I wish they could condense it into one season. It's a fantastic show, but geez.
The second season.
It's a lot of time for little payoff. You know what I mean?
The second season was so good.
The second season's so good.
That was the best one. The Forks episode with Richie. I mean, there was definitely a couple episodes where
it's like 9 episodes for one fantastic one.
That's fair. I'll give you that.
But I get it. Like it's we're only 2 seasons in. So
you remind me of Richie post Forks episode when he
finally learned how to do stuff. When he found his niche. Nice.
When he finds his confidence. But in the sense like when he's having that conversation with the chef and he goes about karma, she's like, you're good with people. I get that sense from you. Like, I mean, it was really hilarious that you picked out Jenna's shoplifting stuff, which kills me. But like, I worked in years of years of work in mental health. But you, when I first met you too, you have a really good ability to read people. That must tie into being a good barber as well.
So that's what, you know, it was one of those things. I you know, bringing up the beer, I went to culinary school in high school. I was a line cook for years at really good restaurants, and I got burnt out. And when I was listening, like I'd switch from back of the house to front of the house, and so watching the beer gives me much anxiety. By the way,
yeah. Oh, I can only imagine. Like,
it's like watching Anthony Bourdain in a kitchen cooking with his chef, and he hasn't been behind a line. He tries to do line service. You ever seen that episode where Anthony Bourdain
goes back to lay off?
And the guy's like yelling at him. He's like, "You're an idiot." He's like, like, that's how I feel. Like, because I know how to do it, right? Like, I worked at a Friendly's. I used to do 2x2x2s. You know what I mean? I was a breakfast cook at a Friendly's, but now I'm like, I couldn't even handle this. So transitioning from like, you know, I was getting sober and cleaning up my act, and I was like, I can't. Every time I did that, and I was, you know, working at a bartending at a club in Boston or something. It was about 9 months, and then I was drinking again or you know, doing drugs again. And I was like, I got to change my career. And I had a buddy who was a barber, and he used to always be like, you should be a barber, you should be a barber. And I was like, what the hell? Let's do it. Yeah, I'll try it. And it's cool. It's like, it's like cooking, right? It's like you get to use your hands, right? It's artistically expressive. So like just the natural progression from cooking to cutting hair was great. And I was blessed. Like my first job was at a barbershop in the South End. And, you know, I was just surrounded by like these guys with like this fantastic, ability to cut hair. And I was the only white guy in an all black barbershop. And like, these guys were just like masters of their craft. And I was like, I suck. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was like, and I realized like, you can't get good overnight, right? Like, I'm not gonna be able to give a perfect fade. I'm not gonna be able to be fast. I'm not gonna be able to do these things overnight, but the one thing I can do is I can be a people person, right? And like, my mentor works with me today, and I kind of base myself off him. I was like, I can't fade as good as this guy. I can't know all the things this guy knows when it comes to techniques. But what this guy does with his clients, how they're not his clients, they're his friends. He knows about their family. He knows about I was like, I can do that right now. And so that's kind of how I made my bones in cutting hair. You know, I was an average barber at best. But I was a good person, and I care about my clients, you know?
Yeah, it shows, and I think your barber skills have improved a lot since then, too.
Yeah, not to toot my own horn, but I'm above average, you know? Above average.
No, yeah. I mean, I started going.
I was going to say, don't you go there.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I will say that the talent of young barbers today is, it definitely surpasses, like, things these people, because, like, just the artistic stuff that people are doing with like designs and all kinds of cool stuff. It's definitely like gone light years. And that's the cool part about this industry is like, I always get to learn. Like there's not a month doesn't go by where I'm not trying something new out or doing something different. So keep someone like me interested, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as like this and cutting hair, like, I mean, I don't even know if like, it's like a calling, right? It's like you get to like have like a real, it's like being a therapist that can actually succeed. You know what I mean? Like, right? Like I can't prescribe you any drugs, but I can make you look better and feel better. You know, and I can listen, I can talk. You know, I have clients that, you know, even when I was sober back in the day and I had been sober for a lot of years, when I was cutting in South Boston, I made no bones about the fact that I was, you know, I was in a process. And like I can remember I'd been cutting this kid and I'd slowly watched his life like deteriorate. It was like a finance kid, right? And like he just coming in worse and worse, coming in at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning and cracking a beer and like sitting there and drinking like two beers before he got in my chair. And then one day the kid's like, "Hey, you're sober, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "I want to get sober." And I got to help him on that process. And I'm pretty sure to this day he's still sober, you know?
That's amazing.
You know, so like things like that, like how many industries give you that ability, you know?
Yeah. That's incredible. I could see why your personality would fit in there so well.
Yeah.
And because especially people with addiction, you know, there's always the genetic component and then like the underlying trauma. But the thing I noticed especially when I was a drug counselor, people with addiction are the people who are like the most just like full of energy, can't stop. Like they just have too much going on all the time. And that's kind of where the drugs and the alcohol have to be to calm it down. Like they're the most interesting, profound, and successful people you will ever meet. Yeah, because find someone in sobriety, because it's like you probably have three times the energy more than the rest of the.
Well, I mean, I'm no longer.
Well, you have a child.
I do my thing now. You know what I mean? I was sober for a decade. You know, yeah. I got a kid. That slows me down.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I remember the first time I met you with Shelly for like the meeting, and I had just started. But I remember leaving with Shelly, and the thing that struck me the most was like, he was really funny. And he talked a lot about his wife and his kid.
Yeah.
And, but not in that, like, you know, there's like.
No, my son does look like Christian McCaffrey. I just want to say.
Oh, really? You guys are a picture.
As a picture, if you look up Shannon Sharp holding Christian McCaffrey as a baby.
Oh, that's so funny.
And then I'll pull up a picture of TC.
But it wasn't in that, like, old man way, like, oh, my wife, the old ball and chain kind of thing.
Oh, no, I love my family.
I like our generation of like dads and men, like
it's yeah,
like,
yeah, it's completely different. Well, I also had a kid when I was 45 years old. You know, like that's I know cool. I look like I'm 22, but I'm 47 now.
You're like now like the Jamie, like on Joe Rogan podcast. There's like the character that always the person who always pulls stuff up on the computer.
Yeah,
you're part like Monica from Armchair and Jamie from Joe Rogan now.
I'm yeah, just ready? Like a smorgasbord.
Right, so you have that picture out?
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I see that.
Oh. His mother will never let him play football, though.
Yeah, so I don't blame her.
I know, Mike.
I was like, come on.
My nephew's 10. My brother and his wife are going through that now. Like, he wants to play football, but, like, concussions, man.
Well, here's the thing. My wife had said it, like, when he was born. She's like, because I played football in high school, you know. And, like, my wife's like, he's never playing football. You know, you're like, you just got to let things go in and out in a relationship. Yeah. Like, you can't show up to every battle, right? And I'm like, well, this is a battle that's not for today. I mean, the kid's still in the womb.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, being in Boston, I cut, you know, we cut athletes. We cut, like, you know, professional athletes, college athletes. Like, I have, like, you know, I cut a bunch of the hockey players at PC and lacrosse players and whatnot. And it's funny, like, about a month after, like, I think it was after he was born, I was like looking at these young kids coming in, these like 16-year-olds, and I'm like, these kids are huge now.
They're massive.
They're like 6'3", 210 on average. And I was like, dude, I was 5'11", right? And I was 185 pounds in high school, and I was huge. Like, I was like bigger than average. I wasn't huge on a football field, but I was big. I'm like, now these kids are huge. I was like, this kid's never playing football. I don't care how big he is. This is like, you got a 200-pound lineman that can run a 4.6. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all set.
Just not good. It's not good for the brain until we can figure out how to repair that stuff. But I don't, it's so funny because I'm putting them both on blast. They'll argue about that. But my sister-in-law was a hockey player, played hockey and stuff, which is really good. But she really wants to play hockey. But I'm like, hockey?
Well, they're two different sports.
They are.
So, like, the inertia of hockey, right? Like, you know, 80% of the hits in hockey, you're going the same way. You know, motion's going the same way. Like, obviously, the boards are round, the curve, that helps.
That's fair.
You know, whereas all football's head-to-head, you know.
Yeah. That's fair. I take it all back.
Yeah.
But so, hockey got to wake up early, so that's why my brother's like, I don't want to
I mean, we've all dropped an egg on the ground, right? You ever drop an egg off a counter and the shell cracks, but, like, the yolk's okay, right? Because it's a big slam, right?
Yeah.
So think about your head. Just if you took an egg and you just shook it for an hour and then you open it up, I'm sure the yolk's going to be a mess. So, like, that's football, right? Like,
yeah.
What a great comparison.
I do great analogies.
Yeah, analogy. That's the word. I know.
I'm the analogy master.
Do you want to just take over as host?
Final? No. You guys are fantastic hosts.
No, I'll take off. I think you
should. No, I don't have time for this, man.
So much better.
Three barbershops, a 2-year-old, and a wife in med school.
I know,
yeah, like, let's start a podcast.
Do you want a podcast that will pay you absolutely no money?
Well, boy, we got the place for you.
We got a job for you.
Well, it's funny because you asked, like, you know, oh, do you do comedy anymore? It was like one day I was flying. I was in LA and I was flying back and I was sitting next to this guy and he's like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I was just out here doing stand-up. He's like, oh, that's really cool. He's like, so, like, you act? And I was like, oh, no, I don't act. He's like, so you write? I was like, no, I don't write. He's like, so you don't like money? And I was like, oh. Because you can't make money just going on stage, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Isn't that kind of weird? Like, you would think, like, even, like, Dan Cook was still a movie star.
Yeah. Like, that's what you need movies. To do to make money.
I still can't believe that you went to high school with Dan Cook. Did you, like, know him and stuff?
He'd been at a couple of my keg parties.
Was he funny then?
I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about Dane on a podcast in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I'm not going to let that get back. I mean, he's the.
I like him.
Dane Cook is to comedy what karate is to martial arts. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's a form of it.
Perfect way to put it.
It's so form.
Yeah.
I stole that. That's from Rick and Morty.
I love that. Yeah, because he was like, he got real popular when I was in college with Dane Cook, that era of like Remember, Comedy Central used to do shorties, watching shorties, when they would do the animated stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, oh, my God, we would listen to Dink. Like, he might have been, like, my first introduction to, like, stand-up that level.
I think he was mine, too.
Like, I knew who stand-up comedians were. Like, I loved.
Mine was Eddie Murphy.
Raw?
No, Delirious.
Oh, Delirious. Is that the first suit? One?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, is that he's dropping the F word? Like,
oh, you watch it today, you're like,
where do you stand? Fuck it. Let's do this. Where do you stand on that? Because I feel like. I personally, politically, I'm like very progressive, but I very get different with a lot of my friends where I personally, like, I could watch something from the 80s where it's like not hold up, doesn't bother me in the slightest.
So that's a great question.
Always curious about everyone else.
This is shop talk 101, right? Like, this is barbershop, like great discussion for a barbershop. So during the pandemic, my wife was studying for the MCAT, and I was like, let's watch Eddie Murphy Delirious. I was like, it's my favorite stand-up special. Now, mind you, my parents are drug dealers. I had HBO when I was, 1983, right? So I was watching this stuff as a six-year-old, right? And she's like, all right, let's do it. And I put it on, and I'm not going to lie, I was slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, there's parts of that special, it's uncomfortable, but here's the thing. As a former comic and as someone who appreciates the art and what I think is the mission of comedy, people take for granted that, if there wasn't Eddie Murphy up there in 1983 making fun of the stuff he was making fun of at the time, straight men would have never known about it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, so
100%.
And here's the thing, it's just like whenever anyone tells you how you're supposed to feel about something or how you're supposed to look at something, your natural reaction as a human is to draw a line and be like, no, I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to listen. Whereas laughing about a matter that's very controversial opens you up.
Yeah.
To talking about it, right? Like, you don't give someone information and tell them how to think. The beauty of comedy is you find a relatable you find a relatable humor in a terrible topic.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Which then allows people to talk about it more and opens up conversations. So everyone in 2024, listen to this. You can have a discussion and laugh. And that laughter is going to make that discussion deeper and stronger.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, to your point, there's a famous thing when Will and Grace was on television.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of advocacy against it because they didn't kiss. They weren't romantic enough as a homosexual couple. But there's
Grace was a man,
or was one?
Weren't they the couple?
Or, I don't.
No, I'm just kidding. I've seen the show. No.
I don't think I've ever.
I'm like, do not ask me.
I think it's Megan Mullally. I'm not even.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds good.
But it ended up, once gay marriage was legalized, they pinpoint the turning point of the changing of opinion of Americans is Will and Grace, where it wasn't far enough for some and it was way too extreme for others.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but so it's always you have to be in the moment. And also, in 1983, using the F word every 3 seconds, better or worse, that wasn't offensive. That's just how people talk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was offensive in the special to Bill Cosby.
Well, yeah.
But look what Bill Cosby did.
He's a rapist. Seth Rogen has a great point. He's like, comedy's not supposed to be forever. It's not music.
Yeah,
a good stand-up act should not exist in 1,000 years from now.
Well, it's the thing that when you look at Eddie Murphy in the eyes of 2024, I can't hold a special accountable for where the line has come. Now, do I think the line's moved amazingly in the right way? Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, if you watch CNN the 90s and you hear how people are talking on regular TV, you're like, oh, wow, we've done a lot better.
God,
we're doing better. And but I don't think taking today's standards and applying them to even 5 or 10 years ago is fair.
And it always goes against the wrong people. It goes against the people. They'll be the worst person in the world and they get a pass and they go on to do it. And there's one person who doesn't do a Bill Burr, because he eats shit from a lot of people.
Does he?
Yeah. And I think he's also awesome. But there is a certain sect of people who think he's even though he's Bill Burr, he's not even, I don't know how you put it. But Or maybe Shane Gillis might be that.
Shane Gillis is a good one. Shane Gillis, because I find Shane Gillis hilarious.
I don't even know much of his comedy, but he's performing so in front of 75, he's just did SNL and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know, sometimes people get too extremes in their views one way or the other, and you end up canceling or getting rid of someone. It's just because they didn't agree with 5% of everything you line up with, don't push them away, because then they go do the bad people.
Well, it's the Shane Gillis getting the NL, the Saturday Night Live thing where he had to leave his job. It's
I know, that was
it was something he had said, a joke he had written 5 or 7 years ago. It's and I come from a time where my childhood isn't on record. I didn't.
Same.
I still don't tweet or whatever it's called. Is it X now?
X.
Dude, I like tweet better. Tweet was funny.
Oh, I can't even log into mine anymore, and it's probably for the better, but also the worst, because I can't delete anything that came out of my mouth at 15.
I mean, that's insane to think, you know, like, I mean, Jeez, you just need a time in your life to step in some shit and clean your shoe off and keep going, right?
Yeah.
Forgiveness, people. Yeah. When I remember my first lesson of that was my friend. I was like RA in college, and my friend Rachel, I mentioned before, we were both RAs together, and her boyfriend broke up, so she was like drinking, and someone took a picture of them drinking in the dorms and posted it on MySpace. This is how long ago this is.
Wow. And the first friend?
Tom.
Yeah. And she got fired because of that picture. And that was crazy. Like the first moment I was like, oh, we got to be careful what I put on the internet.
Right? Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that's cool.
The other thing too is like, you know, I would say millennials kind of invented it and Gen X started using it. And like, it was supposed to be like, here's what I'm eating today. And what's my ex-girlfriend up to? And, you know, when the boomers got a hold of it, they changed the game. You know, it's like, hey, guys. And there's just so many of them. You know what I mean? There's just so many of them. They're everywhere.
Yeah,
once
everywhere.
They got on Facebook.
And now they're all slowly retiring. So they get nothing but time. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's a bunch of boomers shit on the internet with nothing but time.
And they're reading, you know, batshit crazy conspiracy theories.
They got nothing but time. Like, I hope one day to be old and retired and to read crazy stuff. You know what I mean?
It's like, you know, fascism doesn't seem so bad.
Fascist,
like, what? Fascist? Mom?
Mom, please log off.
Well, it's a beautiful thing. Like, I remember when Trump was running in 2016, my grandparents were in their 80s. They both since passed. And they were just beautiful people. They raised me. And, you know, my grandmother was like, Trump, he's gonna fix the country. And I was like, Nana, who's your favorite president? And she's like, FDR. And I was like, so how do you feel about Bernie Sanders? She's like, I can't stand him. And I was like, funny story. If you look at Bernie Sanders and FDR, one's way more social.
It's,
you know, and that would be FDR.
It is funny. I know, but sometimes I'd get like links back, my brother, from some family members, and be like, this is from Russia Today. I had to teach some of my family members, like, looking at the links. Like, the younger generation is so much more, like, savvy of, like, what's real, what's not.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, boomers are subject to stories, right?
Well, it's on
like,
the internet. It's kind of real.
Oh, yeah, boom, done. No, it's like, you know, it was like the kitty litter box story. Remember the kitty litter box story where, like, there was a girl in a classroom in Massachusetts that identified as a cat and they had a kitty? And, then, like, you click a couple things and you realize it's just someone was bored smoking pot in their basement and their Xbox wasn't working, so they wrote this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then like, everyone believes it.
And then, it's absolutely wild.
So
do you have any, before we wrap it up, though, Jenna, do you have any more questions before we get to the food stuff?
Oh, I know, because the food stuff.
You guys made food?
No, we just always have to ask about restaurants because, like, that's the best part of the state to me is, like, the food.
Let me see.
I grew up in Meriden, Connecticut. We didn't have like a culinary scene.
Oh, the food scene here is epic.
It's like unbelievable.
It's epic.
I think just with Skips, what you like, is there anything that you can point out that you offer that differentiates you from another barbershop?
So, yeah, I mean, you know, first and foremost, like hot towel shaves, like, you know, high end consultation services, quality haircuts. Like, we don't just, you know, I'm not just here to give you none of my shop like in Providence, it's me. I have a Rhode Island guy who's in the restaurant business, Nick, forever, and he's an artist as well. And then we have a guest star barber from the WWE that moonlights and does a few days a week.
Don't worry, just check it out. I actually don't know anything about wrestling.
If you look on our website, you know, you'll see Josh there. I would definitely book Josh for a haircut. WWE and I would book all of us for a haircut. But yeah, he's
I don't know.
We have some mutual friends, and he's been living in Rhode Island for a little bit now, and you know, he's coming in part time, and he cut my hair last week. It was amazing. And,
wow. Yeah. Does he still wrestle?
No. He's a barber for the WWE.
Oh, a barber for it.
Travels.
Oh, cool.
That's travels and cuts wrestlers and like famous people. So he's like a celebrity barber.
That's crazy. We're having someone from RAW on. I don't know a lot about wrestling, but.
All right. I don't know a lot of wrestling. I mean, like, I stopped watching wrestling when puberty hit.
Right? I never even watched it as a kid.
I mean, I still watch it a little bit. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty fantastic. I'll tell you, I did catch wrestling like during the pandemic. And what those guys are doing today, it makes Jimmy Superfly Snuka look a little boring.
Right. You know, you know, like, I think your state rep for your where Skips is it, I think it's David Morales. He's a state politician. He's a politician, but he's a professional wrestler, too.
Oh, amazing.
He's awesome. I just went to his fundraiser at Wes's. He's awesome, dude.
Why didn't I get invited to that? Come on, Chris.
I know. It's online.
Now, wait, is my state rep for Skips? Or
for Skips. I don't know wherever you're helping.
I live in Riverside.
Oh, yeah, no.
Which he's is a... not Barrington, I've been told.
Oh, yeah, no. It's East Providence.
But you live in Barrington? No, I live right... See,
right?
See your house? That's my house right there.
Yeah.
It's Shelbyville, and it's Springfield.
I love Riverside. Riverside is amazing. Yeah. My neighbors are just... they're awesome people.
Can I also point out that Skips is really... Like, the interior is really beautiful.
So,
it is, yeah.
So, yeah, getting back to the whole reason floor. We're here that we haven't talked about.
Well, that's why Skips. That's why Jenna's here.
So, Skips is like, you know, cleanliness, you know, like... ease and comfort in which to book. You can book online. You know, all the times are available. You know, we accept all forms of payment. But like, honestly, like if I had, like what sets us apart is that like, we're not here to just cut your hair and go. We're here to like make connections with people. Mm. And like, that's what I love about Providence is like the eclectic community in Providence, especially where we are on the border of Federal Hill and Olneyville. Like, I can cut a banker, a welder, you know, a high school kid, you know, and an artist all the same day. And, like, I never have to have the same conversation over and over.
Yeah.
You know, like, the PC hockey team comes in, and, like, those kids are, you know, amazing athletes, and they're just fun, and, like, they're part of the community, you know. And, like, we have, like I said, we have the lacrosse guys. They come in, and it's like, bro, 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 bro. And I'm like, oh, it's Southie. I'm in my Southie shop now, right, where the median age is 24, right?
Right.
And then... you know, then you have a cool artist come in or, you know, like, you know, just like different walks of life and they all intermingle here. That's what I love. You know what I love about Providence is like, so someone had said like Boston segregated and they didn't mean segregated like by race or whatever. What they meant was like, wherever you live in Boston, you're with your same social class. So like if you live in South Boston, you're with everyone in their first job out of college. Mm-hmm. If you live in the South End, you're with everyone that's like in their second or third job, about to have a kid, you know, own a dog and own a condo. Whereas like class eclecticity, like the mixing of class in Providence is like that real city, like Queens, New York feeling, right? Like I get people from all walks of life all day. And it's really a beautiful thing. That is like my single most favorite thing next to the food.
And it Skips us too. You've fostered this environment where if you go there and you're waiting or you're getting a haircut, you're going to end up talking. Every time, the few times I've been there, I end up in a conversation with someone else who's like getting a haircut or like
you?
Waiting, shopping.
Yeah.
Like everyone's so cool there.
Conversation might be the wrong word, Jenna. Yeah.
They listen. Who was your barber last time, dude? He was like a punk kid. Was his name Nick, maybe?
Yeah, Nick's there.
I remember talking to him. He was super cool.
Oh, yeah, Nick's awesome. Yeah, I think he's got a rap group and everything. You know?
Yeah. I think I'm probably lost his
mind. I mean, I think that's what we do in Boston really well, and I think we've brought it down here, and you know, it's slowly coming up. We're a year in, and like I said, we're in the Strive Lofts building right there. You can't really miss us, you know, and partnering with Strive and, like, promoting it all around that area because, like, that's the one cool thing about, like, where we are and, like, even the Strive thing, we're talking about the Strive restaurant, like Joe's vision for that side of Providence is very interesting. You know, like he has this vision of turning like Admiral Street into a form of Thayer, you know, Thayer. That's just different. And like, I love it. Right. Cause like, if you think about Admiral Street and then you think about like that side of town, like the different communities that intermix, like I can go get a Guatemalan burrito or a Mexican burrito and I'm blown away by either of them.
Right.
You know? I can get pizza. I can go to New York Systems and get wieners. You know, like I haven't done that yet. I'll do it.
We'll make a day. We'll make some content out of it.
So what do we have to offer? You know,
I feel like a lot.
It's like a fellowship, right? It's like a community,
club.
Right?
Yeah,
it's a club. And it's like, here's the thing. It's a club that like literally is for everyone, you know? And like, that's the best thing. Like Planet Fitness, it's a judgment free zone.
Except at Planet Fitness, everyone's secretly judging.
Oh, man. So I'd love to ask you, like, since you've been here, what are your favorite restaurant spots around here?
Oh, man.
Or favorite might be hard. You don't want to exclude anyone. Just ones that are worth shouting out.
I mean, there's so many that are worth shouting out. We could spend an hour on that alone.
What do you get? More specific. What are you ordering for lunch when you're at Skips?
When I'm at Skips? Oh, Tony Colonials. They're Italian grinder, bro. Nick being a Providence guy, we always have an argument. Dude, Tony Colonial's Italian grinder. So I switch it up. Sometimes I do the balsamic, sometimes I don't do the balsamic because they're two different sandwiches.
I know, duh.
So TC's, shout out from Skip's Barbershop. I love it. It was a week where I was like, this is my third Italian grinder. I can't do this again. I could like feel my arteries hardening as I was eating the cured meats.
I'm slowly turning into cured meats.
So that's number one.
I live right by it.
Yeah.
Have to go. Yeah.
I get their the chicken parm sandwich.
Yeah. And so then good. On Saturdays, if you ever make it to the farmer's market.
Oh, yeah.
So Saturdays is a great day because it's either breakfast or lunch, depending on what time how our day shakes out. But there's a burger truck that parks in the parking lot called Rocket Burgers.
Oh, I love Rocket Burgers.
Dude, Rocket. I mean, we just had there. Like a week or two ago. Which here's the thing. There's a fantastic burger.
I love it.
Rocket's it's like Wu-Tang, right? If you're like, oh, Method Man or Ghostface, like I'm not gonna argue with you. If you're a Method Man guy, that's okay. I'm a Ghostface guy.
Yeah.
We both agree they're really good. But like Rocket Burger, if you haven't tried it, because like there's written up, like, you know, everyone's going. But like Rocket Burger, you wanna have a burger or their breakfast sandwich, they do this like this thick cut bacon on like a ciabatta bun with like fried egg, and you're like and you eat it and then you're like, oh, I need a nap.
And my mouth's like foaming.
I know.
Jeez Louise. You know, I live where we live in Riverside, like Warren's like 6 minutes away, 7 minutes away.
Yeah, so dude, like the food scene there is insane.
And like unfortunately my favorite restaurant in Warren just announced they're closed. Hunky Dory, which was Hunky Dory was my favorite restaurant because it was farm to table. The menu was small, so it forced you to order things that you weren't comfortable ordering. It was always good. The consistency and the quality were always there. And they were just really, really nice people.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, with a two-year-old, it's really hard to go and sit down at a place or make a reservation because you never know when you're going to get out of the house.
Yep.
And we could kind of pop over to Hunky Dory around 5:15, and they'd always, like, be like, sit down. Because they know. They're like, this kid, you look at my kid, you know he's an animal. He's not sitting here for more than 45 minutes. You know, I mean, we're going to have to leave at some point. So they were awesome.
Been to Upside?
Huh?
Is it Upside?
In Warren, I haven't. Yeah. No. Bywater.
Oh, yeah. I've heard good things about Bywater.
Is that the one that just got a James Beard Award?
They get the award?
I know they were nominated.
Yeah, so them and so like there's two restaurants in Rhode Island, them and Persimmon. I kind of like holding that like kind of same. Yeah. Persimmon's like one of my, it's fun. It's one of my favorite things. Time. Yeah.
Have you been to Pizza Marvin?
Yeah, I have pizza. I need to go there and eat there.
It's dope.
I need to sit down. I need to go in the summer and just order pizza and sit there and eat it because I always bring it home.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, now with the 195 bridge closure, that Burrata pizza is not going to make it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's what you should tell McKee. That Burrata.
Hey. So my favorite pizza, though, and I hate even promoting it because you can't even get it. It's Hotline.
Oh, yeah.
I love those guys. They're
super nice too. Do they go to Skips?
I've cut the owner. He's come in. Yeah, he's a great kid.
They're really nice.
Here's the thing. One of the things I like. So one of my favorite things about their pizza is forget about style or like their ingredients are just epically good. Mm-hmm. Right. That's awesome. But no matter how funky the pizza is, whether it's like a Nashville hot or a Big Mac pizza or a buffalo chicken, the beauty of what they do is it's always pizza first.
Yeah.
Like I never feel like it's all – because you ever go to those pizza places that do like funky pizzas and it's all about the toppings and not the actual pizza?
Yep.
For them, it's always pizza and then the topping is the secondary thing and it's always amazing. So like that's what I love about there. And then Jay's in East Providence because I gave it East Providence shout out.
Jay's?
Jeff's.
Yes, Jeff's is so good.
Jeff's might be – that's like my – that's like what I like is Jeff's.
It's New Haven style.
Yeah, it's quick and it's bang. Love Jeff's. Jeff's is fantastic. Also, what is the steak and cheese place in East Providence?
I don't know.
Oh. Sacks.
Sacks, no?
Sacks.
Oh, I've driven by it.
Yeah,
dude, right. EP shout out. Sacks, their steak and cheese sandwich. Boom.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah. EP's got some good stuff.
Yeah. And then the Italian corner, right? Who knew that Italian roast beef could be that good? I took a bite out of that sandwich. I went right up to the counter. I was like, can I get a pound of that roast beef? And the lady's like, if I sold this by the pound, I'd be making it all day. And I was like, can I get a pound?
You're like, is that a yes or a no?
Come on, let's do it.
It is insane.
I'll pay double. Come on.
It's out. It's like outrageous. And like, that's just like a little section of Rhode Island. Like,
I mean, it's hard too.
We didn't even get to South County. And then like,
I would say this. I know little about South County. I've been here for 2 years, and like, Monica Brewery. You know, then you got like,
I think that's Warwick.
Monica is right by in.
It is.
It's right by there. There, I forget the name.
In Providence.
Yeah.
It's across from my noodle bar.
South Water Street, South Main Street.
It's West Valley. Something like that. Or
West Valley.
No, it's the West Side.
It's by Planet Fitness.
Just naming streets. I don't know where they are.
I'm like the Cobbleton Street.
I can tell you where it is.
Like that place is fantastic. Mm. Then there's the noodle place over there.
Noodle bar's dope.
Oh my god! That's one of
my
spots. Right?
Actually, that's one of my secret spots. I love that.
You know,
place so much.
I gotta try like Dolores, the Mexican place on the east side. Like,
Dolores
I haven't
is good.
Been there yet. You know,
it would be good for with the little one. Is Pizza J.
So Pizza, everyone tell you right. He's got the video. They got the
pinball machines. They got some arcade games.
Here's the thing. Loud. I have yet to go to Pizza J, but Julian's, their other restaurant on Broadway.
Yeah,
that fried chicken sandwich.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, better customer service at Pizza J.
I like the hipster go f yourself customer service.
It's the opposite. Pizza J is so opposite. They're like, hey, how you doing, hipsters? And they're super nice to like.
So kids. Like, hello, friend, hipsters.
Yeah.
See, I don't like my hipsters. I like my hipsters real. I like my hipsters real. Like, what do you want?
They're real nice to the kids.
As you're saying it to them, they walk away.
Yeah. It's like you don't know if they heard you or not.
Yeah. You say it. They didn't repeat it back.
I've definitely had a server leave their shift while serving me at Julian's before. Like I was with my dad when I first moved here. Like a decade ago, and all of a sudden, like.
Yeah, they're gone. That's their backpack.
All right. Guess we're not paying.
Yeah. Right. That's their backpack.
Why would you leave with your backpack if you're coming back?
Oh my god, this has been so much fun. I know from say day one, I was like, you gotta
Strive Kitchen and Bar too, like Strive Kitchen and Bar, right?
Yeah,
you know, give them a shout out because like you know Nick's a foodie and like we went over there, you know, the first like maybe 2 weeks after they opened for a little dinner, and really good. They have this, I think they have this girl that's running the kitchen and back. It's pretty amazing.
Don't they do? Brunch too, I think
they
saw
do brunch. Yeah, they do like a, and like honestly, like it's interesting to see a restaurant of that caliber in that neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like the mixing.
It's across like Walgreens, right?
Yeah, it's like right. I don't know what square that is.
Me either.
Yeah, I know it's Admiral Street. The Providence food scene. Tony Colonials, man, come on, it's that sandwich.
I know, I love it. And it's always the same two old couple there. Have been there since I've been. Yeah. I've been going there for like 13 years.
Yeah,
since I've been in Rhode Island. Every time it's that little older woman with the brown hair.
Yeah.
Always
and
there.
That Italian grinder. I'm sorry, but the bread. There's no bread. There's no bread that hacks it. You know what I mean?
And I
bought
Bendo.
$250 worth of cheese there on a Saturday once, or a Sunday.
I respect that.
I was like, what am I doing? I still got it in my fridge. I don't
that
know how long
bold.
Cheese lasts. Yeah. Guys, like, here, try this wine. It pairs with this cheese. Ah, bah, 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 bing, bah, bah, bah. And the next thing you know, I'm like, I got a friggin' arm full of cheese. Oh. I'm lactose intolerant, by the way.
Oh, dude.
I don't stand for intolerance, though.
No, you know what
I mean? Usually with milkshakes.
Yeah.
Usually that's my stand. I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And my wife's like, no.
I'm just saying we should all just take some edibles, go to Tony's, see what happens.
Right?
I drop a lot of money there when I do that, especially around Christmas time, because I'm like, I got to get the olives, and like, they have free samples, and also I got like 5 things. I bought like a new strainer.
They got the Nutella cookie things. Yeah. I put it up there. I'm like, $17 for a pack of cookies? I'm like, give me two.
Give me two. Oh, wait, this olive oil is made in like the Amalfi Coast. I have to get it.
And then Baco. Have you tried Baco? Have you tried Baco by your house?
I haven't, but I've heard great things about it. It's near Plant City.
Yeah.
No, that's Baco right on the hill.
Baco.
It's
right by you.
I know what you're talking about.
That's Baccaro by Plant City, which Baccaro is, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, we could do this all day.
I know. I remember when I first moved here, I was like, I don't understand how a city that is this little with this small of a population has so many restaurants, coffee shops, and craft fairs.
You know what I mean? Craft fairs.
Nothing.
Right?
When I grew up in Connecticut, nothing like this.
And then coffee, right? You got Springline Coffee down in Newport. If you guys tried that, that's fantastic.
Mm. I mean,
Springline's unreal. And then right by the shop in Olneyville, right by the, it's attached to the farmer's market, is New Harvest.
Oh, I love there all the time.
Oh,
I love New Harvest.
I'm like, man, I have not gone to a Starbucks since I moved to Rhode Island.
Good.
There's no point. Borealis in East Providence, right at the bike path, because I like to cycle.
I like that place.
So, like, that's Borealis is what's up.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, we could do this, like I said, this is a whole other show. Do we have another hour and a half to talk about the food here?
I know, right?
The food's so good, but oh my God. This is so fun. I'm so, thank you so much for having us on. So,
like,
where can people find you on Skips and all that?
So, it's skipsbarbershop.com. You can make your appointment right online. So, it'll pop up. There's three locations. We have South Boston, Boston South End, and then 556 Atwells Ave in the Strive Lofts building in Providence. That's our newest location. We have availability. We have new client specials. Type in the code SKIP15 capital and you get $15 off your first service and hopefully become part of our family.
Show up with some Olivelle hot wieners and some
Food.
Right. Some nail polish. Food, you
know? No, it's mascara.
It's mascara.
That shit's expensive. It's so little. It's like they're begging you to steal it, right?
It's like I know. It literally was calling to me at 13.
Some things. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I'm at Home Depot. I'm like, I'm not paying for this.
You
know,
self checkout. Just pay what you want. I'm staying.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
It's like all right. Thank you guys.
Thank you.